Thank you for listening to this DuPont Media production, available on all major podcast platforms. This is Rod Peterson on demand.
Now,
could you please give us some good news on the show today? Some good news, because everything seems to be bad. And I said, you know, I was kind of thinking the same thing, but here's what I came up with for good news. Are you ready? We don't get into politics here on the RP Show. That's the good news. Homie, don't play that game. That's not what we do.
This is the Rod Peterson Show.
Well, welcome to the RP Show, everybody. It's hour two. There is a lot going on. A lot going on. You know, the big news you see, for those that are watching, I got my Blue Jays bunny hug on, take October. Hey. And I think that the Blue Jays are going to take October in 2021. We're going to be talking about George Springer, the latest Blue Jay. Wait a minute. He's not even the latest Blue Jay. The breaking news is that the Jays have signed Michael Brantley, four-time All-Star. They're raiding the Houston Astros is what they're doing. Michael Brantley, a Blue Jay, we've learned in the last hour. So that's what's great about being Canada's daytime sports talk show, is that we're on it.
Oh, yeah.
With breaking news. Thanks, whoever put that up. I believe producer Clark. Hazel May of Sportsnet reporting Michael Brantley in on a three-year deal with the Toronto Blue Jays.
Let's go with these vaccines already so we can go to Woodbine in June.
Yeah.
And the Queen's Plate and go watch this Jays team.
Yeah. So we got a lot of topics on the table here. The Golden Corral of Sports Talk. That's what we are. We got a lot of items to get to. And things have been changing. We've got Ron McLean coming up later on here in hour one. And shifting gears, former Blue Jays first base coach Tim Leeper is going to join us. From not that long ago, 2014 to 2018, he was on the John Gibbons staff. Tim Leeper will join us to talk about the signings of George Springer and now Michael Brantley and how the Blue Jays are in it to win it. Viewers are chiming in with CFL talk. And you're wondering why? There's not much going on there. Well, hang on. You're going to find out why. But let's hit the quick six show topics, please, Director Jordan. Let's do it. Well, number one, that topic is the Blue Jays signing George Springer, the number one free agent on the market, 6 years, $150 million. And I'll just say this, watching ESPN SportsCenter this morning, they went through the Blue Jays starting lineup, batting order, and they had George Springer at the top, number one. And then it included Kevin Biggio, all the greats, Vladdy Jr. And they said, wow, what a lineup. And it is. Mm-hmm. So the Blue Jays might be the favorites in the American League East coming in. Chad Isaac, one of our viewers, says, now get Trevor Bauer, and we're set. So we are still looking for some pitching. Let's not forget that. But Tim Leeper will join us to talk about that and more. And Craig Campbell, watching from the Hockey Hall of Fame downtown Toronto, says if the RP Show comes to Toronto, then a tour of the Hockey Hall of Fame and the archives is a part of your itinerary.
Oh, yeah.
Can't wait.
Of course.
So anyways, we're getting hung up on point one. Other than the Blue Jays have won the pennant for 2021. We've anointed it.
Write it down.
Yeah. Number two, Tuesday, National Hockey League leftovers. Let's not forget, we are a hockey country, don't you know? And on Tuesday night, I watched the start of the Jets-Ottawa Senators game. And when I say the start, I watched the first 40 minutes. It wasn't that scintillating. Patrick Laine wasn't playing for Winnipeg, and I'm quite fond of watching him. The Jets were down, and they weren't playing that intense. And then we put on Yellowstone, and I missed the third period in overtime. And then the first period of the Colorado-LA game, checking my phone, I'm like, what? The Jets came back and won? Saw the highlights. I'm like, this is a tremendous team-building victory to come back like that. And yeah, they'll figure out the starts. The fact that Winnipeg's are winning despite giving up early leads in games is nothing but tremendous things for the Winnipeg Jets. What else did I say? Sidney Crosby, still the OG.
Oh, yeah.
The original gangster, for those of you that don't understand what OG means. Sidney Crosby's like, you can talk about McDavid, you can talk about McKinnon. I'm still over here scoring overtime-winning goals for the Pittsburgh Penguins. He's like Shooter McGavin.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear. I was too busy winning. That's Sidney Crosby.
Oh, how did he do again? Dead last? All right.
How did McDavid do? So anyway, Sid's still Sid. And Bobby Ryan has set a record for most goals scored in his first 3 years. Sorry, first. What are you laughing at? You're getting me derailed here.
Shooter McGavin. How did he do it again? Dead last? Some drive, though.
Yeah. good memory.
Yeah.
Anyways, Bobby Ryan set a record for the Detroit Red Wings for most goals scored in his first three games with the franchise. And that's something. I think it's five goals in three games. And the story there is that recovery works. Bobby Ryan is just one hell of a story. Did he win the Masterton last year? If he didn't, he's going to win it this year for the comeback player.
Unbelievable.
Of the year. Those are some of the NHL leftovers. LA doesn't look that great, which is sucky because our friend Todd McLellan is the coach. He'll get him turned around. Chicago hasn't won yet. And may I remind you, we're just now 1 week into the regular season.
I know.
We've got all these teams either written off or Stanley Cup favorites in a week.
You know, we don't go deep enough on some of these things, but the Jets, for a second, you know, don't jump off a cliff yet. I mean, you didn't play very good against Toronto. You didn't play very good against Ottawa. The shots were 2-1 Ottawa in favor of Ottawa. Gave up 40 shots in the game. You're very fortunate that they came back, but it does go to show you that they have all the pieces. They got the goaltending to keep you in a game when you're outplayed, and they have the firepower that they don't need a lot of shots to put goals in the net.
It's opportunistic. They don't need a lot of opportunities to score. They cash in.
Yeah.
So it's exciting for Winnipeg. And Ron McLean's coming up next segment. I don't think he's logged in yet, but I want to put this to him. I put it to Rich Sutter last hour. I've seen people complaining about the lack of intensity, the lack of physical play, and they say it's like an all-star game. I'd never even thought about it until I saw it on Twitter this morning from a fan, and I'm thinking, my expectations are so low. This is what the NHL wanted. This is what the brain trust of hockey wanted, was this. A skill display. A hit? Ooh, what's that? I didn't even notice.
I know.
Like, the guy was right, but it's what I've accepted is hockey now.
Yeah.
At all levels. Point four, Connor versus Austin tonight. That's the big one. Ding, 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 ding. Connor McDavid's Oilers at Austin Matthews Leafs in Toronto. And our poll question was, slight twist here, who will have more points in the game tonight? We're not asking who's going to win. Who will have more points in the game, Connor McDavid or Austin Matthews? And an hour ago, the poll results for Capital Auto Mall Universal Collision Center were a whopping in favor of Connor McDavid, and they still are. 73% for Connor, and Twitter is very similar. And our official betting partner, Come On Canada, has the odds listed at...
Yeah, for goals, 1.8 for Austin Matthews, 2.5 for McDavid. So they actually think there's a better chance of Austin Matthews scoring. So if you really believe that McDavid's going to have
more points...
Put
your money where your mouth is.
Yeah, go to Come On Canada and bet for Connor McDavid because you get a bigger return.
So yeah.
I like that.
Download the app from Come On Canada, the official betting partner of the Rod Peterson Show. It's a status symbol to have a betting partner, and we have one.
Oh, yeah.
The best one.
That's the
Come On.
That's the broadcast version. That's the broadcast.
Oh, hang on.
Right?
Brian Kozak, the Jets fan, makes a good point. Austin will have more points because the Oilers have no goaltending.
Interesting.
Maybe that's why the odds say that. I don't know. That's a really good point.
Yeah.
Thank you, Brian. Point four here in the warm-up for the Four Seasons Sports Palace. Come in and warm up at the Four Seasons. You're home for the National Football League. Question is, will the CFL play in 2021? I said we got the CFL fans all stirred up, and that's why. And I've just been doing more thinking about this than I should because I don't work in the CFL anymore. But I'm thinking with all these pay cuts that are being taken, like millions upon millions of dollars being slashed from the payroll. I said this a couple days ago. We went off the air and I said, are they slashing the payroll to the point that they could play without fans? That it would cover their payroll? If they now bring in some additional sources of revenue like helmet stickers, like the NHL's done, and sell sponsorship of the divisions and various things and get creative with revenue, the two could marry up to that they could play with no fans. And I'm believing that they will. And I'm hearing from the agents that there will be a season. We just don't know what it'll look like, which is a red flag to me because GMs of every league have told me that, and they never did get onto the field or ice. But I'm thinking they have to play or the league will go extinct. Therefore, they will find a way. Where there's a will, there's a way. And I think there will be CFL football, but without fans. And it just triggered an avalanche of comments from our viewers, right?
Yep.
Some are saying, no, you're wrong, there'll be fans. Well, I don't know what yours know that I don't. But I don't think there will be fans. But I do think they'll play. And it actually makes me feel good. and a little bit more secure, you know, that there will be a CFL for us to watch and talk about and all the rest.
You say, when there's a will, there's a way, and there's a reason that saying exists, right? If you want to do something, you'll find ways to do it, right? If you don't want to do something, then you look for excuses or reasons not to do it. If you want to play, you'll play, and if you don't want to play, you won't play. It's as simple as that. Are you going to look for excuses and reasons not to play, the vaccine or other external factors, or are you going to find, you know, ways to play despite external forces? Do you want to play or do you not want to play? I think you're right. You're bang on.
Viewer Chad Isaac says, play without fans, pay-per-view for games, plus TV ratings and sponsors in the CFL. Could play. There won't be pay-per-view. Forget it. That is such a May discussion. Like that's not happening. Yeah. They have a TV deal with TSN for a reason. Robin Wildy in Prince Albert's watching, and he says, what would the Oilers need to do to get the Flower out of Vegas? That is so Monday. We talked to Gary Lawless about that from Vegas. Come on, guys. You got to watch every single minute of this show, and you'll be up on top of everything. Do you remember what Lawless said they want?
Dreisaitl.
You send Neon Leon down here, you got a deal.
Yeah.
0.5, Philip Rivers retiring, and I don't think it's a big announcement. The sucky thing for Philip Rivers is that I believe he's leaving the football field with a lot of regrets. Not being able to pay his bills is another one. And at some point, I need to realize it's not all about money, but for Philip Rivers, he's not going to the Hall of Fame. He's not. And forever, they said, he's a great quarterback on a terrible team with the Chargers, and that's his problem. So he goes to the Colts. This was his swan song this year, and they couldn't get it done in the playoffs in Buffalo either. Good season. Making the playoffs is not easy to do in the NFL. They didn't do anything in Buffalo, and now he's pulled the pin. I got to think he's walking away with some regrets.
I would think so. Absolutely. I mean, they chose Philip Rivers over Drew Brees in San Diego with the Chargers as their next guy. And he has all the tools, and he put up all the numbers, and he did all those things, but never won. Never got them to a Super Bowl, never won them a championship, never got them over the edge. Good players can win despite, you know, the team around you and find ways to bring everybody up and make everybody better. And that's got to be disappointing for him because he's universally liked. He's, you know, put up numbers. He's had decent teams, not great teams, but good teams, and just never able to get it done. And when you play that long, the only reason you keep playing is to make money and win a championship. He didn't win the championship. That'll bite him for a while.
That's why I think he's leaving with some regrets. Ian Bodnarik writes in, one of our viewers, he says, why couldn't the CFL have small crowds sort of like the NFL is doing? Because if you've noticed, we can't do that in Canada. That's why the NHL's playing with empty arenas. And that's why the junior leagues aren't playing at all. We don't have that. We're getting to the end of January right now, and the Canadian Football League needs to make a plan, man. They need to make a plan for how they're going to play. And there's absolutely no reason to think there's going to be any change on the horizon, Darren. Am I wrong? Change my mind.
No. Again, I just said it. Do they want to play or not want to play, right? Because when you want to do something, you move heaven and earth and you overcome all the obstacles and you do what you need to do to be able to play. I know money's a big factor, too, and the pandemic. But if you want to play, you'll play. If you don't, you'll find reasons not to.
I left 0.6 blank for a reason, just in case there was something exciting that came up today, and it did. It's now official, if they will. I just got the notification that the Blue Jays have agreed to a deal with four-time All-Star outfielder Michael Brantley. Mike Ramage has written in from Baseball Saskatchewan, and he says, how about them Blue Jays, Springer, Brantley, and Yates? Now it's time for a starting pitcher or two by free agent signing or trade. One of the current outfielders will need to be traded. They're excited for baseball in Canada. And I join you. Won't be long before the pitchers and catchers are showing up in February. So that's 0.6. I want to mention that our rock star of the day from yesterday was Stevie Baggs Jr., the NFL and CFL veteran, now the star of season 3 of Cobra Kai, and another series called Ruthless on Amazon Prime that even he admitted nobody watches. He has one speaking role on Cobra Kai, and his phone blows up.
Yeah.
He's on a series, a regular, and nobody even notices. Last night, my wife said to me, that's Stevie Baggs. He was on Cobra Kai? What episode? I said, literally, if you blink, you missed it. It's the episode where they're at the rock concert and the kid that's recovering from the fractured spine, neck, his foot starts tapping to the music. I said Stevie Bags was the bouncer that let them into the club.
So now I know what to
watch
for.
That's how fast it was. So you haven't seen it yet?
Not yet. But now I know his toes start tapping, so that's a good thing.
Spoiler
critical
alert.
Part of the show.
Spoiler alert. And I want to update it again just before we go to break. Let me call it up on my Twitter. The poll question today for Capital Auto Mall, Universal Collision Center. Who will get more points tonight, McDavid or Matthews? Twitter and Facebook running right about parallel, congruent. 70%+ say Connor McDavid will have more points tonight at Scotiabank Arena as the Oilers take on the Leafs. We'll chat with Ron McLean about that and more when we come back. This has been the warm-up for the Four Seasons Sports Palace. Come in and warm up at the Four Seasons. You're home for the NFL. You're watching the RP Show on Game Plus TV Network across all 10 provinces and 31 states. Live daily on YouTube and listen live for Suds Full Service Car Wash at rodpeterson.com.
Head to youtube.com/The Rod Peterson Show now. You gotta subscribe. Click the subscribe button for all the content you may have missed. Oh yeah, he's back. Time for more of The Rod Peterson Show.
It is. Welcome back to the program, everybody. It's the RP Show. A lot of topics on the table today, but we are very honored to be joined by Ron McLean today for his third appearance on the program today as we head out to Southern Ontario. Game day, Leafs Oilers tonight. It's got a real Stanley Cup playoff feel to me, Ron. How about you?
Totally. In fact, Rod, this feels a bit like the Olympics. I put my television on and every night feels like hockey night in Canada. We used to get the all-Canadian matchups on a Saturday, and now they're consistent. I just leave the TV on the station like I would with a rights holder at the Olympic Games, and obviously 4-10 for the Oilers and the Leafs, so fantastic.
Absolutely, and the thing is you get up in the morning and turn the channel on and go, oh yeah, that was on from last night. It's happening in my house every day, Ron, and I got a ton of things to get to with you, but that triggered my thinking on a question we were discussing the other day. Keeping the Scotia North Division past this year. There's getting to be a groundswell of support with it. Where are you on that?
Totally. As long as you could sprinkle in at least one game with every other team. I don't know if that's possible, but that would be my only amendment because I think it's fantastic. We're blessed, as you know, Rod, to have McDavid and Matthews, and every Canadian team has a superstar or two. Normally in the past, you'd say, oh my God, you're kidding. I'm not going to see Yager. I'm not going to see Mario Lemieux or Sidney Crosby. But as fate would have it, we don't really feel jilted by not getting the American team's visit. I still think it would be nice, though, to cross-pollinate just a little bit. But the idea of six or seven against each other, fantastic.
Yeah, if they can, you're right, go, what do you call it, cross-divisional play. But my argument against that, Ron, was the travel. And you're no stranger to travel in normal times. Like, I just thought it might wear out the players with the time zones. We're a big country. But people are saying, we could work around that. Is that a thing, do you think?
Right. You would probably need to have a situation like we have now where you see two and two nights or three nights of a Canadian team visiting Edmonton, Montreal, as an example. That was fantastic, right? To see what happened with Darnell Nurse catches Brendan Gallagher in game one with a bit of a, I'm not saying dirty, but a hit that was severe, and Gallagher comes back with a hit that I'm not saying is dirty, but it was from behind in game number two. And that creates obviously a little bit of a narrative that we all enjoy.
Can you please tell the viewers across the country and our American viewers too, because we're on in 31 states, what Toronto would be like right now today, pandemic aside, with McDavid at Matthews, Oilers, Leafs? What would it be like in downtown Toronto right now?
Well, there's no question when Connor waltzed Morgan Riley last year and then threw his number one in the air, you know, there's a great rivalry, whether they say it or not. And they're friends. They train together a fair bit of the time, Matthews and McDavid. But Connor has that blistering speed, which he feels that all the great ones, Bobby Orr, had that blistering speed. Gretzky was more of an agile skater, not necessarily blistering speed, but he loves his speed as a dimension to his place on the mantle. And Matthews is equally impressive in terms of his footwork. You know, he I've often told the story, he grew up training with Russ Courtnell's family. Lawson's son was a dear friend. Russ's son was a dear friend of Austin Matthews. So every summer, Austin went up to Victoria and they would run the rocks. The Courtnell boys felt that training on the seaside and all these rocks would give you strength in the tendons and the muscles of your feet. And he's amazing in that regard. He barely ties his skates. So the loosest tie job of any skater, and you know, Crosby and how finicky he is with his. And so they're back and forth, Matthews and McDavid and Crosby and all the greats looking at the other and saying, what does he do? As an example, McDavid trained to learn to one-time a puck from Steven Stamkos, with whom he trains. And he just worked endlessly on that. And he also worked on stopping up. McDavid used to, you know, stick handle right into the phone booth. Now he has that, as you saw in one of his goals earlier on there against the Canucks, you know, just that checkup and change the point of attack. And so they're learning. They're fascinated with the game and its mechanics. And it's a joy to watch those two in particular.
No kidding. And whatever the Courtnells were doing for training worked, obviously. Craig Campbell from the Hockey Hall of Fame is watching in Toronto. He says the KHL schedule contends with 10 time zones. Well, we're not in a competition here, Craig. I thought we were serious about player safety. That's all. I just want to take care of the players. Brian Kozak in Winnipeg says, I don't at all like what Hockey Night in Canada is doing to the Jets. Six times this season, they're playing Saturday home games at 9 p.m. I would say, Brian, we'll put that in the suggestion box. There's a lock on it. We'll send it to Sportsnet. Do you have a take on that?
Well, as you know, there's no Rogers hometown hockey, Ryan, because of the schedule. We just couldn't. Obviously, traveling would have been impossible anyway, but we could have hosted it from Toronto had we been able to get Sunday games. But we couldn't even. The Jets used to be our stable. We would have seven Sunday nights with the Winnipeg Jets. Not happening. So this is just a non-perfect season. It's cost us Rogers hometown hockey. Not just that. Obviously, the pandemic's a huge factor, but the schedule was a massive factor in why we couldn't have the Sunday night show. And you're going to endure a little bit of inconvenience, and I hate that you have to, but I just think, you know, at the end of the day, 9 o'clock, that's prime time in America. That's when they put the games on most of the time. So it's not the worst, and I'm grateful that it helps us because it's nice to have the Jets as the nightcap.
Good point. Slightly off script from what I was going to talk to you about. We were mentioning earlier that Sidney Crosby scores the winner in overtime for Pittsburgh last night. Opening night, he scores with one hand. You saw the fishing goal that he had. And I love it, Ron, because he's saying, I'm not going away. You referenced Gretzky and Orr. You know that they face some hate the longer their careers went along because people get tired of the winner. Tom Brady deals with that, right? And they didn't do anything wrong. And I just like that Sidney's sitting there going, I'm not going away, guys. You can take your McKinnon and your McDavid. That's what I see.
Well, Rod, I'll tell you, the thing about Crosby, though, is he's never really offended anybody. He's just sweet as apple pie, right? So I don't think he's one of those guys. Like, I don't know why Bobby, maybe because he fought with Pat Quinn. I don't know, you know, because he blocked shots or he was involved in the physicality more so. It's not like Crosby's a wallflower, but his thing is puck protection. It was great joy to listen to Peyton Krebs at the World Juniors talk about how he has 105 superstitions in warm-up because of Sid. He has, you know, puck protection techniques based on Sidney Crosby. The kids all watch video endlessly. This guy is loved and admired and respected. You don't see anybody taking cheap shots at Sidney Crosby per se, although maybe Niskanen. I'll tell you, Rod, I'll maybe show it this Saturday on Hockey Night in Canada, but I watched Jake Allen get steamrolled the other night, and I watched Koskinen get hit and sent head flying by his own man, mind you. It's a tough spot. And I remember Johnny Bauer. You remember the famous photo of Johnny after the Leafs won the Cup and Gordie Howe poses with him and Frank Selke Jr.? Mm-hmm. But going back to 1960, I'll try and show this, but there's a play where Jean Béliveau's taking a shot on Johnny Bauer, who's not wearing a mask. It's the 1960 Stanley Cup. It's back when our all-Canadian rivalries were the one and only, Montreal versus Toronto, and they play 14 times. So Bauer's in net, Béliveau takes the shot, and Boom Boom Jeffrey on number 5 of the Habs drives the net, sends Johnny flying into the air. What does Johnny do? He doesn't get up and poleaxe Jeffrey on. He helps him to extricate his skate, which got caught up in the mesh. Unbelievable sportsmanship. And Bauer, I liken to Crosby. You know, he's just one of those guys that's always done it with a great element of sportsmanship, high, high compete level, but not the kind you would ever hate. And nobody hated Johnny Bauer, and I don't think anybody hates Sid.
No, but By the way, a bronze statue of Johnny Bauer in the lobby of the Arthauser Center. So there's that. And but you still do hear some hate for Sid. I do. Maybe you don't. I don't think Wayne Gretzky ever did anything wrong to offend anybody either, Ron, other than make him look bad.
Yeah. Well, Scotty Bowman said a boo in the enemy rink is a cheer, right? You do understand you invite, it's like when I refereed, half the people liked the call, half the people hated the call. And I've been in those shoes pretty much all my life. No, I, you know, Crosby, what I think is neat when he was on with the Spittin' Chicklets, right? And he revealed that at 32, he felt like it was really a struggle to keep pace and he was having to do extra work in order to be able to stay at the level you need to be. And when you see some of these veteran players like, Crosby. I was amazed at, I didn't realize how great, Kevin BX has told me time immemorial because he was a partner, but this Chris Tanev going over to Calgary has made a difference. He has really shored up that blue line. And those older players that, you know, do the training, like Chara playing with Washington at his age is Joe Thornton giving it a shot with the Toronto Maple Leafs. I mean, this is impressive stuff. And Sid, in that lens, he's only 34.
Do you have a story of being around Sidney? You must. I know you do all those events in Nova Scotia, like as a person, because he does seem pretty guarded.
Yeah.
You know, what's he like away?
Yeah. One, the first time I met him was at the Brad Richards golf tournament in Prince Edward Island. We were playing at two tracks called Brudenell and Dunderave. So Maritimers would know this golf course really well. And I remember, like always at a charity event, there's lots of shenanigans the night before the actual golf tournament. So I was up till all hours at a place called the St. James Gate in Charlottetown. And we take the bus out to the golf course. And I had packed my bag full of stuffed animals for the children because they come in caddy. And I remember I got off the bus feeling a little jagged from the night before, and I have all these children who are going to be caddies in our golf tournament, and I'm presenting them with little hockey stuffed animals and signing autographs and posing for photos for the kids. And there on the veranda is Sidney Crosby. He's just he hasn't even played in the NHL yet, and he's watching. Just watching me and other players, and he wasn't out drinking, and he was in the gym the next morning. I saw him in the fitness center, just dialed in to every element of the career that he was about to embark on. So that's one. And the other is, you know, the relationship with his father, Troy, and Trina, his mom, and his uncle, Robbie, who was a driving force at Tim Hortons. But Robbie tore up the he played for the Cornerbrook Royals in the Newfoundland Senior Hockey Loop. Was a phenomenal player. So that all the Crosbys, you know, I could say Forbes McPherson, who runs the UPEI, it's a hockey family through and through. So generations all over the place of greatness. But to see when Grapes and I were in Nashville doing the 2016 Cup, Pittsburgh and Nashville, and to see Trina and Troy coming back from the Bridgestone Arena discussing the game in detail. Things that they had shared with Sidney, telling Don and me, you know, sort of how they never missed a skate, not one morning skate, not one off day practice. The family was in it together. And that's one of the things, you know, it's hard for people. I think they think, oh my God, can't he get rid of his parents? No, you know, that's a guy that was drafted the same year as Patrick Roy by the Montreal Canadiens. That's, you know, Carey Price and his father, Jerry, same tight. That's a lovely element that I think has really been the cornerstone of Crosby's success.
Well, and speaking of shenanigans, just before the pandemic, I did a dinner with Matthew Barnaby and Andre Waugh in Carlisle. And you know how those dinners go. Carlisle, Saskatchewan. And they told some stories from the Penguins days. And it was literally, Ron, we put Sidney to bed with his milk and cookies. And then this is where the story starts, right? He was never part of any of that stuff. So anyway, so a guy I saw on Twitter, a fan this morning, said he's not enjoying the NHL hockey because it's not intense, it's not physical. And, of course, you know, compared to the Stanley Cup playoffs, it wouldn't be. But he said, this is like watching an all-star game every night. And I thought, he's not wrong. You know, where are you on what we've seen? Yeah, he's not wrong.
I think, Rod, a couple of things. You know, from a feel, you know, it does feel like you're seeing an inter-squad game because of the no fans. And whereas the bubbles for the Stanley Cup playoffs, you know, Steve Mayer of the National Hockey League had come in and the bells and whistles and special effects were fantastic. We still have a little bit of crowd noise, but it isn't quite as good as it was in the bubble because it was one guy, Jeff Cozen in Edmonton at Rogers Place. And Jeff would sit there and he would watch the shot from the point and he would have hits the post, hits the crossbar, ready to go. And within a millisecond of that shot off the crossbar, he was sweetening the sound to the extent that we believed what we were seeing and hearing. That's different because of the setup. And then no preseason, I think, accounts for a little bit of it as well. Like I give Darren Drager a lot of credit last night. Josh Morris, he was having a really tough game in Ottawa. And Drager said, look, he hasn't had a preseason game. This is their second game. You know, he'll find his stride. And sure enough, he scores the tying goal and sets up the winner. That's happening too. You got a lot of guys that are fumbling with the puck. TJ Brody comes over into Toronto. Huge pressure, right, to play on the defense in Toronto. And he's struggling because he's not got the reps. So I think the animosity will build, the familiarity will breed contempt. I think the hitting will pick up a little bit. I think you have to recognize that it's just all feeling a little weird and a little new to the players at this point.
No doubt. And a hello from Janice Correa. She says, hello, Ron and Rod from Vancouver. She's with our sales force living out there. And Ron, lastly, I say we're in the Bermuda Triangle of the NHL. We're right in the middle of Winnipeg, Calgary, and Edmonton. We're in the TV region of all of them, so we get all those games. So last night, Sarah Orlesky, who I refer to as the GOAT of female hosts, if I may. There might have been some before her, but she's just so classy. And she goes, I still can't get used to the empty arena.
Right.
She was throwing it back to...
Sarah, for the third period.
Did you nail that? It almost brings a tear to my eye because we're not used to it. And I don't want to get used to it, Ron.
Well, but we have to. We just have to, you know, of all the places, in Regina, the Cooperators was created by farmers because of the droughts and because of the infestations and because of the disease and how many different ways you could be brought to the brink. But you loved the life. So you endured as a farmer, the fact that you might lose it all at any given moment. That's where we're at. I hate to say it, and I hate to be glib about it, but it's we'll take what we get to just sort of get through this. And you still see on occasion, like Jake Allen, right? The other night, frick, unbelievable. And as I said, Tanev has caught my eye. Drake Batherson with the Ottawa Senators, and to see the way he's playing right now, there's a lot of legitimacy within what is unfortunate. But let's just say, in the spirit of Saskatchewan, the spirit of Johnny Bauer, we'll put up with it, and hopefully, knock on wood, come October, it'll be... By the way, one last thing, Rod, because the inauguration, I was just watching it today. Kathleen Edwards, this is a funny Saskatchewan Rough Rider story. She's singing the anthem in Atlanta at the All-Star in 2008, Phillips Arena. And I hadn't been back there since the Olympics in 96. It was cool to walk around and think about where Donovan Bailey and the relay tell all this stuff. So I'm there for the Canadian anthem's about to be performed by Kathleen Edwards, who comes out in her Ottawa Senator sweater. And a guy from the NHL says, you can't wear that sweater. This is a celebration of all 30 of our partners. And we can't be, showing favoritism. So she goes back into the dressing room and she comes out wearing a Saskatchewan Rough Riders T-shirt. And the guy didn't know what that was. He just thought it was a wheat chaff. He just let her go. And crazy. One of the funniest.
If you ever get a chance, watch. That bind. Yeah. And I think, you say, we'll make the best of it.
That's right.
Exactly. Ron, I always enjoy our visits. Thanks for prying yourself away from the inauguration. We'll turn you back to President Biden, and we'll see you when we see you.
I don't know what to watch.
I know, exactly. All right. Thanks, Ron. Ron McLean, joining us from Southern Ontario today with a great visit. And I know there is something going on in Washington here today, but for those that aren't interested in that, we'll continue the sports talk when we come back with a sports update, viewer takeover, maybe a face-off. What do you say?
Let's do it.
It's the RP Show on Game Plus Television. Oh, thank you, Clark. Thank you. The unscheduled guest, Blue Jays first base coach for 5 seasons, Tim Leeper, will join us to break down all the big moves with Canada's team. You're watching the RP Show, Game Plus TV, live daily on YouTube, and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
Head to youtube.com/The Rod Peterson Show now. You gotta subscribe. Click the subscribe button for all the content you may have missed. Laid back and kicking it, let's head back to the studio. Here's Rod.
All right, welcome back, everybody. Very exciting day. Breaking news. Last night, we learned that George Springer, the number one free agent on the market, has signed with the Toronto Blue Jays. And now this morning, we learned that Michael Brantley, another all-star outfielder from the Houston Astros, has signed with the Blue Jays. And just like that, I can't tell you how much we appreciate Tim Leeper joining us today. Unscheduled visit, a former Blue Jays first base coach, Baseball Canada guy. There he is, Tim. Got no glasses on today. But as a Blue Jays fan, Tim, have you noticed? There you go. There you go. Have you noticed how crazy the country's going with these signings here today?
It's well, yeah, I've been driving around all day and it's a really, really big deal. And it reminds me a lot going back to the winter between 2014 and 15, which was better than the year 2013-14. But there's a lot of excitement. There's a lot of great reason to be excited. It was great enough just to get Springer, but then you throw Brantley on top of that. It's a great time, and it's such a great place being in the city when this team is doing things to go through this playoff hunt. And everything they did today is something that's a definite step in the right direction, and the buzz is everywhere. I was actually just listening to Hockey Central here on our local radio, and they laid it in with the hockey with the baseball stuff. So you know that's big when you're interrupting Hockey Central.
Yeah, and they led off ESPN Sports Center with the Springer signing. Again, that was this morning or last night. And they got the Blue Jays batting order up, and they had Springer at number one. And the pundit said, what a lineup. And listen, it's message served. The Jays are serious. But this is like another step serious. Like, where does this put them in the American League East in your mind?
Well, they're definitely better today than they were yesterday. I to put it in perspective, it doesn't change everything automatically. The depth in the lineup right now, it's going to be tough to have a lineup that's as good and as deep as this one. And the fact that, you know, you put Spring at the top and you're already forgetting Biggio, who's also like a really, really great player. It just gives you so many options to do so many great things. And you know that an opposing pitcher is going to have to work through this lineup 1-9 just to get out. But, you know, to put it in perspective, like back in 2014, we got Russ Martin and we got Josh Donaldson in the offseason. And even like midway during the season, you know, we still weren't there. We still needed some extra pieces. Now, not to sound like Debbie Downer, but what they have done here is to create not only like great talent on their major league club, they've kept all their depth. So now they have the pieces to go out and do other things. Starting pitching is going to be a big thing going forward. They got the pieces in place at premium positions. Like they have great depth at the catching position in the minor leagues. And these are things that people covet. So there's a lot of things in play right now for them to continue to keep making this team better and better. And it's something you're going to have to do. If not now, you're going to definitely do it when the season comes. And they're in a great position of strength right now, for sure.
If you haven't heard it already, you're starting. Arnie Hofer writes in. He says, have they signed the trash can yet? You get it, right? All the Astros World Series champs coming to Toronto. We're going to be hearing a lot of that, I would think.
I hope not, because, again, I think I talked about this last time. Blame the adults, blame the league for not investigating it and putting it to an end before it happened. I don't blame the players at all. Like, one thing about being on the other side of the field from George Springer, and, like, again, I'm a guy that got victimized by the trash can and all that stuff, but he's a guy that really plays hard. He brings so much more credibility to a club that's already good. And I think every year when your season ends, it's really important you turn over your lineup and bring guys in that have a little different viewpoint or a little bit better. And the Blue Jays have a really young core of guys that won together in the minor leagues, and they really truly believe they know what it takes to win, and to a degree they do. But now when you bring somebody in who's lived that life, and then not only now in Springer, you're bringing in his mentor in Brantley, who's still really good and really professional, and he's going to be a great mentor to the young guys. I think you just elevated everybody's game a lot more than you thought you needed to, and it's a great piece, and I hope that stuff doesn't follow him too much. I know it will at the beginning, but when you go out and watch George Springer play, when you go out and see what he does in the community, and you're going to realize what a valuable sign it is and what a really, really tremendous human being he is.
Tim, for a second time, I'll thank you for joining us Unscheduled. I cannot thank you enough, and I mean it. Some questions that I had that I forgot to ask the last time you were on was your thoughts on Vladdy being moved from third to first, and now I think they're moving him back to third. I didn't like it when they did it. Clark thinks... He goes, like, counterpoint. He's like, well, it wasn't working at third. Let's move him to first. How do you feel about how the Jays are handling their young star?
Well, for the first thing, like, I never thought I would come in and follow Ron McLean on an interview. So this is great for me, too. So thanks back.
Good.
But in terms of Vladdy, I think he came in with high expectations because there was nothing else going on, and he had to carry the burden of a team that was really bad. He didn't meet the expectations, although he was really good as a rookie. Last year, obviously, he wasn't good at third. Obviously, he came in heavy, but as the season progressed, he got better. He changed positions the day the season started, which is really hard. For me, if I'm running this club, it's like I'm taking third base out of the equation. I'm putting him over at first base. It's a major league position. It creates huge value for you when you're good defensively over there. And the only way to get better at a position is to play it and keep playing it. I wouldn't keep doing the back and forth. And I do realize at the roster as it stands right now, putting him at third, putting Tellez at first base probably makes sense. But if you're looking big picture down the road, like, you're going to need another third baseman, I think, to carry you to that next level. And if a guy really needs the reps at first base to be a really good first baseman, I would move him over to first base right now and not even entertain the fact that we can put him at third base.
Gotcha. So you like it. And I have to say this. My phone went off the last time you were on from a few people, but one of those was Dustin Mulliken, a very close friend of mine. Yeah, well, you coached him at Baseball Canada, and he started with the Detroit Tigers, Cleveland as well. I think we all know his story. He's from here. One of only three Saskatchewan products to start in the majors. So he's in rarefied company. Yeah. He's like, my good buddy, Tim Leeper. I saw you had him on. You know how Dustin talks. So you guys got a good relationship.
We do. It's texting mostly. But yeah,
exactly.
I've been with Molly forever. Like, I was with him with the Pirates. I met him after one of the World Baseball Classics. I went to spring training when I was working for the Pirates. And I think Molly was an 18-year-old kid. And our relationship started there. We've traveled all over the world together, whether it be World Cups, whether it be Pan Am Games, you name it. We know. He's one of my closest friends in the world. He's a great human being. Between him and Andrew Albers, that's some pretty solid pitching for Team Canada, and we're pretty lucky to have him. But Molly's a great human being, and I can't say enough good about him. But one of the greatest things was when he pitched for Detroit, his second game in the big leagues was against us in Toronto, and I was at the first base coaching box, and I didn't want to look at him. I didn't want to say anything to him, but when I knew he was coming out of the game, I ran by him and gave him a little shot, and it was really nice to see him out there. I think he punched out Donaldson on some weak slider that he threw, but he was pretty proud of that one too.
Oh yeah, things are going great for Dusty, and so I had to bring that up today. Tim, thank you so much for the chat again. Unscheduled, tremendous analysis. And I guess before I let you go, your Twitter account is Tim on a boat. What's it? You're
no, that's a fake one. I get that all the time. You know what? I feel lucky enough that I was here at the Blue Jays at a good time where people made fake Twitter accounts on me, but I don't have one, but if I get one, I'll definitely pass it along. And I like your sweatshirt a lot right now. It brings back good memories.
We were in the same building when I bought this. How do you like that? What a small world. When I was at Rogers Center before game one of the division series. Tim, thanks for the visit, my man. Stay safe.
Always a pleasure. Thanks a lot.
Tim Leeper joining us from Baseball Canada and five seasons as the Blue Jays first base coach. Those damn fake Twitter
I pulled
accounts.
It up. It does say fake parody account at the end of his bio. I helped the Toronto Blue Jays get to first base.
Well, it seems like he would say that.
And taking it easy. Namaste.
And it's a great photo of him.
That's a great photo.
I'm glad that he straightened that out. So we'll get to our sports update and viewer takeover when we come back. It is the RP Show, everybody. You are watching on Game Plus TV, live daily on YouTube, and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
Head to youtube.com/The Rod Peterson Show now. You gotta subscribe. Click the subscribe button for all the content you may have missed. You got something to say? You wanna add to the show? What are you waiting for? Don't just sit there. Say something. Now, back to the studio with Rod.
And Moose DuPont and the entire crew. Can I tell you again? This is episode number 404 of Canada's daytime sports talk show. We thought there was a void in Canadian sports TV programming that we're filling with live breaking news on a daily basis. But here's what's happening today. Sports update. The Blue Jays have signed free agent outfielder Michael Brantley to a three-year deal, according to multiple reports. Sportsnet was first to report it. The move today comes a day after the Blue Jays agreed on a reported six-year, $150 million deal with outfielder George Springer, a teammate of Brantley's with the Houston Astros. The 33-year-old Brantley is a four-time All-Star. He's the son of former Mariners outfielder and Blue Jays hitting coach Mickey Brantley. Michael Brantley signed with the Astros prior to the 2019 season. He was with Cleveland before that for 10 years. Last year, he batted 300 with five homers and 22 RBI in 46 games. More breaking news today. Longtime NFL quarterback Philip Rivers has decided to retire after playing just 1 year in Indianapolis. Rivers' decision comes less than 2 weeks after the Colts' 27-24 loss at Buffalo in a wild card game. Rivers spent his first 16 seasons with the San Diego LA Dodgers after being acquired in a draft day trade that sent the top overall pick Eli Manning to the Giants in 2004.
Wow.
The first of nine meetings between Connor McDavid's Edmonton Oilers and Auston Matthews' Toronto Maple Leafs goes tonight at Scotiabank Arena. The Leafs have won three of four games to start the season, while the Oilers have done the opposite, dropping three and winning just once in four home games to open their campaign. The Vancouver Canucks are set to host the Montreal Canadiens tonight in the first of three straight meetings this week between the two clubs. Montreal headed to the West Coast on a high, having swept two games against the Oilers. It's the home opener for Vancouver, who's coming off back-to-back road losses against Calgary. And the Raptors will try and extend their win streak to four tonight when they host the Miami Heat in one of 10 NBA games. Shorthanded Miami has been plagued early in the season with injuries, and star Jimmy Butler isn't expected to dress due to health and safety protocols. This sports update for the Tap Brewhouse and Drive-Thru Liquor Store, corner of Rochdale and Pasqua, and for Ben Cahoon's G2G Protein Bars, order yours at g2gbars.ca. Now into viewer takeover, Jennifer Illingsworth writes in. She says, McJesus with 4 points tonight, two goals, two helpers, Matthews with only two assists. Boy, she's going deep on that. She's
very specific.
She's wired. And it's funny how Come On Canada, our official betting partner, has it broken down to goals. This is the way I was raised in the game of hockey, folks, in a hockey family. Goals and assists don't matter. A point is a point. You always had that jerk dad that was or grandpa giving their grandkid $5 for a goal and a dollar for an assist.
Points means your team scored.
Yeah, but you know what I'm saying.
I do know what you're saying.
Hey, $5 a goal. What does that breed?
Oh, yeah.
Puck hogs.
Yeah.
And ill will and strife in the dressing room. And I don't care if they're the novice tier three Pats. Correct?
Absolutely.
The other thing here, this is starting today, organic mention. Should I read it verbatim? This is for Kinsman Telemiracle. I'm like Ron Burgundy.
I was going to say.
Ron, I just read what's put in front of me.
First time, Rod?
I'm a trained professional. We're starting the Kinsman Telemiracle 50-50 daily. The jackpot starts at $25,000. First ever online 50-50 in support of Telemiracle. You better not have sworn here because I'm reading this verbatim for the first time. You can buy your tickets at telemiracle5050.ca. Raffle proceeds will stay in Saskatchewan and will be part of Telemiracle 45, supporting the work of the Kinsman Foundation. Who doesn't love them some good Kinsman Telemiracle?
Absolutely.
Raising money for that. They're just an absolute godsend organization. Where do we go from here? I've handled it to this point.
I know, right? It's, I mean, I can't wait for the game tonight. It's crazy. You know, you look at the Senators and Jets playing a three-game set, and it feels so weirder when you see Montreal and Edmonton playing these games back-to-back. Edmonton-Toronto are going to play four games here. I think it's over, like, the next 10 days or something like that. One game in between, even. So, like, they're going to play a lot of hockey against each other very soon. We're used to having to wait till March or once in February, and they play twice all year against each other. So to get four games jammed into the short little window is going to be tremendously exciting. It's always it's built a healthy rivalry. There's bad blood between the two. I can't wait for tonight. I'll be glued to my television.
We got about a minute here, maybe even less, for our texts, and there are a lot. DG in Saskatoon writes in, morning, guys. Number one, Philip Rivers has nine children. I think he has enough regret already there. Number two, thanks to the former Mets GM for opening the door for Springer to come to the Jays instead of them. I don't know anything about that. From Jim Wagner, he writes in, the Golden Corral of sports. That will stick as a motto. Can we get a deal with the Golden Corral?
I'm on it.
I love that place. Wayne in Victoria, BC. Hi, Rod. I thought I'd text you for a change and let you know that I watch you on my TV and use my phone to comment on the Facebook page. I forgot that I can text you instead. We're so deep in his head. He dreams about us, I bet.
Yeah.
Joe Lozito in Long Island. If McDavid asks out, I know a team with a similar blue, orange, and white color scheme that would welcome him with open arms. Let's get Jordan Eberle to start recruiting. That's from Joe Lozito. Enjoy the Leafs and Oilers tonight. And whatever else you got cooking tomorrow, Kim Coates, the star of Sons of Anarchy, and Kelly Rudy are going to be with us. We'll see you at 10 a.m. Central on Facebook Live and noon Eastern right here on Game Plus. This show is like a pasture of goats.
For more Rod Peterson On Demand, visit rodpeterson.com.